I wanted that sung because that's what happened to Donald Fortner about 1 o'clock in the morning. Went to sleep and woke up in the presence of Christ. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. Now back over here in 1 John, I want you to look in verse 18 through 20, and you'll see my subject. As we know, verse 19, we know, and verse 20, and we know. I want to talk about we know, and we know. We know. That's one of John's favorite expressions. You know, was love and light, and we know. We know. We know. And he speaks in certainty. He speaks in dogmatism. He says, we know. There are people in religion say you can't know till you get there. You can't know if you made it till you got there. You may not make it. If you don't live right and you end up dying with sin or something, you won't get to go there. And people live their lives in fear that they won't make it. But John says, we know. We know. We don't have to guess. We don't have to think. John says, we know. And he says it three times. Three times. Well, and he says it more than that in this chapter. But right here in three verses, he says it three times. Three times. And you know, I tell you what, he said over here in chapter 14, look in chapter 14, excuse me, chapter 3 in verse 14. Here's another one of his, we know. We know that we've passed from death unto life. How do we know we've passed from death unto life? Well, I tell you what, if you're dead and you have life, you know that you got life. But here's one of the evidences and one of the proofs that we've been passed from death unto life. Everybody knows what it's like to go from life to death. Everybody has experienced that with somebody they love. But go from death to life. And this is the reason, because we love the brethren. We love the brethren. And he that loveth not his brethren, he's still in dead. He's still dead. He's still dead. And so I'll tell you what, let's go back over here in our text now. It says, look what it says here. And we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. That's the first thing we know. We know that whosoever, you put your name in there. Anybody's name in there. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. And you know he mentioned seven times in this book of being born again seven times. Of being born of God seven times. And in this particular verse he mentions it twice. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that's begotten of God. Not only born of God, but begotten of God. And we go through the scripture, says so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so. But he said here, God begat us. We're God's children. He that's born of God. And he mentions it seven different times. Here in verse 1 of chapter 5. He said, and no, whosoever. And that's this, with this word, whosoever. You know, if it had, and I love that. That, you know, that means that anybody that believes, whosoever believeth, that Jesus is the Christ, that God sent His Son, the Anointed One, the one sent from God, the one sent to save, the one sent with the power, the one sent with the authority, the one sent with the work to do, the one sent by grace, the one sent on purpose. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, he's born of God. I believe that Jesus Christ was Son of God, was the eternal God, Son of God. And I tell you what, and everyone that loveth him that begat, the one that begat you, the one that gave you the birth, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Verse 4, look what he says here in verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And you know who overcomes the world? He that believeth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And so back over here he says, we know that whosoever is born of God. He mentions being born of God 7 different times. 7 different times. And when it says sinneth not, what he's saying is that it's not his tenor of life. It's not how he lives his life. It's not how he conducts his life. His tenor of life, and a tenor of life is how somebody consistently lives. His tenor of life is different. That man that's born of God, his tenor of life is different. What makes it different? Because he's born of God. He's begotten of God. And I tell you, beloved, he said, when you talk about being begotten of God, the Scriptures tells us that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creature. A new creature. A new nature. He that's begotten, you know, he says, we're made partakers of the divine nature. And I tell you what, beloved, that new creature means somebody that was brought into existence that didn't exist before. When you're born of God, that's what he's talking about, a new creature. New creation. What kind of creation? A creation of God. Born of God. God's seed within a man. And I tell you what, he gives him a new heart. A new heart. Oh, he takes out that stony heart and he puts in a heart of flesh. He takes out that heart that's so hard, that heart that can't be touched. And there's still hearts that's past feeling. But oh, beloved God, he takes out that stony heart and he puts in a new heart. A new heart. And then he not only puts in a new heart, a heart that can be touched, a heart that can feel, a heart that can love things it never loved before. Then not only that, but he gives you a new mind. I mean a new mind. Your mind's different than it was before you was born of God, ain't it? You know, our mind, and our mind means our heart. It means the same thing as our heart. Mind. What we think, what we feel, how we act, how we react to things. And I tell you what, he gave us a new mind. Our minds was once darkened. Darkened. And he came, and beloved, he took that darkness and he turned on the light in that understanding. And the light, beloved, took the darkness out of that understanding. And I tell you, we've got a new mind. A mind to know God. A mind to know the Scriptures. A mind to know one another. Oh, we got a new mind. And when we're a new creature, he gave us a new will. He gave us a new will. One time we were unwilling. Now he said, whosoever. Well, I'm one of them whosoever's. And you know how I became willing? In the day of his power, he made us willing. And he gave us a new will. This will, you know, look back up here. Look back up here in verse 14. This is what I'm talking about. Give us a new will. And this is the confidence that we have in him that if we ask anything. Now we're talking about praying here. We have this confidence in Christ that if we ask anything, and here's the qualification, according to his will, we heareth him. Now would you ever pray against God's will? No, you got a will that wants God's will. Your will submits to God's will. Your will submits to the Word of God. Your will submits to your place in this world. And we got a new will. And oh, new loves. Oh, we have such new loves. We do have new loves. Oh, we love God. We love Christ. We love the brethren. We love the Scriptures. We love our husbands, we love our wives, we love our children. One thing we don't love the world. And I tell you what, he gives us new desires. New desires. We desire. Our desires are different than they used to be. I mean, we desire fellowship with God. We desire fellowship with God. We desire fellowship with the gospel. We desire the Holy Spirit. We desire one another. We desire a reunion with Christ. We desire for the day that we'll see Christ face to face. There's a time we didn't have a desire life. Now we have a desire. You're here because you desire to be here. I'm here because I desire to be here. I want to be here. This is my desire. And our Lord Jesus told His disciples, He said, "With desire have I desired to eat this supper with you." He said, "I desire to come down to the place when I would eat my last supper with you, when I would break this bread and say, 'This is my body,' when I would hand you this cup of wine and say, 'This is my blood.'" He said, "I desire to do that. I desire to come to this place because I know that when this is done, I've got to go and face God on the cross. I've got to go face your sins. And I'm going to give you something to remember me by. Broken bread and the broken body and blood that was shed for you." And I tell you what, that's what we do. We desire to be with Him. We desire to know Him. We desire to know Him better, to know Him more. And I want you to look over here. And I tell you what, when we're talking about born of God, begotten of God, look in chapter 3 and verse 9. "He sinneth not." He said here in verse 9, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin." Wait a minute. Whoa, over there it talked about sinning not. Over here it says you can't sin. Huh? Oh, he has God's seed in him. And listen to this. "Whosoever is born," listen, "whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin. For his seed," whose seed? Christ's seed, "remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God." Whoa. When we talk about Christ, Christ in you, He has God's seed in Him. He cannot sin. We have a nature that cannot sin. And then we have a nature that can do nothing but sin. And this is what we're talking about. When we talk about holiness, holiness and sanctification are one and the same. And you can't have Christ and not be holy. And I tell you, God Himself said He cannot sin that's born of God. And you know why sin bothers us? Because of that new nature. I never had a problem with sin, and you didn't either. We didn't have a problem with pride. We didn't have a problem with self-righteousness. We didn't have a pride with legalism. We didn't have a pride with religion. We didn't have a pride with anything, a problem with anything, until God put His seed in us, and then we started having a warfare in our souls. Huh? Paul said, "With my mind, I serve the law of God. I'm sinless before God. But in this flesh, I'm a servant of sin in this flesh." And beloved, I can't explain that, but you know it and I know it, and God says it. If God says you cannot sin, you reckon He means what you cannot sin? He said He had a record. He had a testimony. And I'm going to believe God. I don't care what anybody says. And you say, "Well, you say you can't. You don't say you don't sin." I say, "And I cannot sin. But I've also got a nature that can't do nothing else but that." And everybody in this building this morning, everybody that's been born of God, knows exactly what I'm talking about. They understand. Only believers understand that. You know, everybody else tells you, "You better quit your sinning." I wish I could. And one of these days I will. But this is the way God views us. Can He view His Son having sin? No. Do we have any sin? No. Why? Because Christ bore it away in His own body on the sin. On the cross. And beloved, He being dead to sin, but alive unto God. When you die unto sin, you die once. And we died in Christ, and we died unto sin, and Christ put our sin away. So even though we have sin with this old nature, as far as God's concerned, we don't have sin even in the record of heaven itself right now. God says you don't have it. He said, "Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Who is that? People that are born of God. Oh my. And that what Paul, what John is saying here, we know those regenerated by the grace and power of God, born of God, begotten of God, those that have been regenerated by the grace and the power of God, they have Christ formed in them. Christ is formed in them. This is the mystery. What mystery? Had been hid. That when Christ come, when Christ lived, and Christ died, and Christ comes back again by the Spirit of God, He said, I'll put my seed in you. And He said, that seed that's born of God and comes in Christ, comes in you, He said, that's Christ in you Himself. He told us, He said, I and my Father will come and live with you, abide with you. That means I'm going to dwell with you. I'm going to live with you. And ain't you grateful that God lives in us? That's the only thing that makes us answer to Christ right now is Christ in us recognizes Christ. That's why we don't have to have the witness of men. We've already got the witness of God in ourselves. Who is He? Christ in you. And that's our hope of glory. Oh, bless His name. I tell you what, made partakers of the divine nature, He's begotten of God. And I tell you what, He said, there's a sin unto death. They don't and they won't sin the sin unto death. Two sins that'll cause us to sin unto death. One is the blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. He said, that sin will never be forgiven you. And the second is an apostasy, falling away, walking away from the truth of the gospel. Walking away from Christ, the only sacrifice from sin. Coming and saying, I believe, I believe, I believe, and then one day you say, I don't believe anymore, or you just quit and you walk away from Christ. Falling away, that's a sin unto death. You leave Christ, and there's no hope for you. There's not another sacrifice, and Christ is not going to be crucified again. There's no other way for God to have anything to do with man other than His Son. You walk away from that. You're walking away from the only thing God has for a man in this world. Huh? And I tell you what, He says the end wouldn't come until there first come a falling away. And that falling away is falling away from the gospel, falling away from the truth, not falling away from religion. Men don't never fall away from... I never heard a preacher that didn't start preaching that he don't give up his profession of faith. No matter what he preaches. He'll start preaching the gospel. I know a preacher that preached the gospel for a long time and then all of a sudden he decided, I don't believe in particular redemption anymore. Well, he never believed the gospel to start with. You cannot believe the gospel and not believe that Christ died for a particular people. Huh? Oh my. I know two preachers have done that. Two preachers have done that. They decided, Tim James went one place to preach in a place down in Alabama, and that preacher got up and said, you know, I used to believe in particular redemption. I don't believe it anymore. And Tim got up and said, oh, I wish you hadn't said that. Tim got up right off the bat and said, I wish you hadn't said that. And now that's what I'm going to have to deal with. That's what I'm going to have to deal with. If he had kept it to himself, Tim wouldn't have said anything. But when a man gets up and tells you, and you're going to preach, and he says, I don't believe in particular redemption, only thing you can do is get up and preach, I lay down my life for the sheep. And all that the Father giveth me. That's all you can do. What else can you do? But I tell you what, that's what I'm talking about. That's a sin unto death. That's a sin unto death. And I tell you what, and I tell you this, something else that they won't do, he that's born of God. They will not deny the gospel of substitution and free grace. The only thing that saved them, the only hope they have, is Christ dying for them, bearing their sin. This is the record that God hath given us. Oh my. And I tell you, the free grace of God, oh my. And then he said, all sin is, all unrighteousness is sin. But oh my. Oh, God's people, one thing they cannot do, they cannot deny the gospel. You know the thing that saved them? The grace of God that came to them? Christ that died for them, bearing their sins away? They cannot deny Him. They can't deny that. They can't walk away from that. The only hope we have. Walk away from Christ. Walk away from free grace. Oh, no wonder. Oh, listen. Then it says here, and then in verse 18, He's begotten of God, and God and keepeth Himself, that wicked one touches Him not. And oh my, they keep themselves. They keep themselves in the fear of God. God put His fear in them. Almighty keeps Himself where the gospel's preached. They keep themselves in the faith of Christ. They keep themselves in fellowship with other believers. And that word keep means to watch over, to preserve, to keep watch. And you know who's the keeper of us? Kept by the power of God. You know what our Lord Jesus Christ said? He said, Father, I've kept them while I was in the world. Now I'm leaving. Now, Father, You keep them. And here's one thing, another thing I know about those that's begotten of God. You know who He watches over more than anybody else? Himself. Yeah. They can believe they could fall away quicker than anybody else does. They have less hope in themselves than they do anybody else. They esteem others better than themselves. Huh? And then it says here, and that wicked one touches Him not. That wicked one. And that word touch means to fasten to cling to lay hold of. Now, beloved, he goes after us, but he cannot fasten to us, he can't cling to us, and he can't lay hold of us. Why can't he? He got to go through the blood. He can't do that. He can't do that. Oh, my. Our Lord Jesus, when He was fixing to go back to glory, and Mary was fixing to grab hold of Him and cling to Him. He said, Mary, don't do that. Don't do that, Mary. Said, you go tell my brethren. He said, I'm not yet ascended to my God and your God, to my Father and your Father. So don't cling to me here. I got to leave. And they got to see Him go. They got to see Him go. And then here, look what He says in verse 19. Look what He says in verse 19. We're born of God. We know that we're born of God. We know that. And here's another one. And we know that the Son of God is come. No, verse 19. And we know that we are of God. And the whole world lies in wickedness. How do we know we're of God? How do we know? Well, it's a very simple question and a very simple answer to it. Do you remember what you once were? Huh? Remember what you once were? We were lost. Christ found us. We were dead. Christ gave us life. We were rebels. Christ subdued us. We loved sin. Christ took the love away from us. We were blind. But now we see. We were deaf. But now we hear. We used our mouth for everything else than praising God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We had the poison of asp in our lips. And now, Christ is what we want to think about, what we want to talk about, who we want to sing about, who we want to preach, who we want to believe. Huh? Oh my. John Newton said, I know. How does he say that? I'm not what I was. I'm not what I once was. I'm not what I will be. Three things, he said. I shouldn't have brought it up. I done that the other day with who. But I know who the who's are now. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is he that condemneth? Who shall separate us from the love of God? I'm going to preach on who one of these days. Who? Who? But we know we are of God. Ain't it something to know that we're of God? We didn't make ourselves of God. That's what we're talking about. How did you come of God? When he asked told Nicodemus, you must be born again, the first thing Nicodemus said, how in the world can that happen? I'm an old man. I'm an old man. What do you think I can do? Get back in my mother's womb and come out again? Our Lord said, oh, my. If I tell you of earthly things and you don't understand them, how if I tell you of heavenly things? I talk about being a new birth from God giving you life. And oh, to know we're of God. This is God's work. We know salvation is of the Lord. We know that. Salvation's of God from beginning to end. From the day God saved us till the day we leave this world, from eternity to eternity, salvation's of the Lord. When did we learn that? When God taught us. Huh? And I tell you what, we know that it's of grace. We are of God. We know we are of God. We know that salvation's of the Lord. We know it's of grace. And we know that God gets all the glory. Huh? And the Lord Jesus Christ did it all. And look what he says here now. We know that we are of God. Oh, to be of God. To be of God. I don't know how many people I've told recently, you know, ask me what to do, and I tell them, and you know, I said, you know, I've been pastoring the same church 41, well, March was 41 years. 41 years. I said, my word, that's a long time. I said, yeah, and I ain't even got started yet. The whole world lies in wickedness. Oh my. Is this the same world that God so loved when the whole world lies in wickedness? Next time you hear somebody say John 3:16, say, well, look, quote 1 John 5:19, the whole world lies in wickedness. Huh? The whole world lies in wickedness. Wait a minute. I thought you said God so loved the world. He said the whole world lies in wickedness. How can he love a wicked world? A world that lives in wickedness. Going to die in wickedness. Loves wickedness. Delights in wickedness. Huh? Oh, I tell you, let's hold this and look in John chapter 1 with me. I want you to see something here. You know, this word world is one of the most abused words in the Scripture. In John 3:16, one of the most abused verses of Scripture in God's Word. In God's Word. When they talk about God so loved the world and that, you know, over in the book of Acts, the love of God's not mentioned one time. And you go through there and look at every message that's preached in the book of Acts by Peter, by John, by Philip, by Paul, by Barnabas. You go and look at every one of those messages that was preached in that book of Acts, and they never once mentioned God loves you, Christ died for you, and you need to trust Him. Never mentioned it. Never mentioned it. But look what it said here in verse 10. He was in the world. In the world. He came to this earth. That's what he's talking about. Came into this world. Into this world system. Into this world of religion. And then the world was made by him. Now he's talking about the earth there. He's talking about the world and everything that was made. He created it. That's two different worlds right there. And then this world that he came into, this world that he's supposed to love so much and wanted to save so bad, and the world, when he came, they didn't know anything about him. Didn't expect him, wasn't looking for him, and didn't care that he came. Three different worlds right there. When the whole world lies in wickedness, back over in 1 John now. The whole world lies in wickedness. And I tell you what, lies in that wicked one, is what he's saying. The wicked one, he wants to touch us. He wants to touch us. He has allurements. He has attractions. And he does things to draw us away from God. Draw us away from God. You know, God let him tempt Job. And the scriptures tells us we know the patience of Job after he was tried. But I tell you one thing God did for Job, that at the end of Job's life, when you go back and look at it, he lost 10 children. Lost all of his wealth, lost all of his possessions. And you go to the last chapter of the book of Job, and God doubled what he had before. Well, how in the world is it? Well, he had 10 children in glory. And he gave him 10 children down here. So he had 20 children. How'd that happen? That's the way God does things. He said there ain't no man left his house, left his mother, left his father, left everything, that he won't have 100-fold in this life and everlasting life in the world to come. Huh? Oh, this religious talks about, you know, you need to give up this for Jesus, need to give up that for Jesus, need to give up that for God. Listen, what in the world can you give up to get God's attention? Huh? Everything we got, it's a sin that kept us from it. He's the one that had to deal with it. The flesh that is so against us, he's the only one that can subdue it. Oh my. And I tell you, he has allurements and attractions to draw us away from God. And for the trials. And oh my, this world's being tried. God's people are being tried. The fact that they can't meet together. They can't gather to worship together. Shelby's going through a trial right now. All people go through trials. You know, a lot of folks are going through trials. Diddy's going through a trial. Severe trial. Her whole family goes with her. Larry Matthews. People go through great trials. Great trials. But oh my. And the difficulties that we have ahead. And we got difficulties ahead of us. I'm telling you. We may have to go uphill difficulty one of these days. And been up it several times. And we'll go up it again. But two things. First, we are of God. We're born of God for whatever trials and afflictions lay ahead. We're born of God. We're loved of God. Redeemed by God. Called of God. Sons of God. And right now, risen and seated with Christ in the heavenly. And here's the second thing. This world that lies in wickedness holds nothing for us whatsoever. Oh my. This is not our home. This is not our dwelling place. We don't look for its honors. We don't look to be recognized by it. We don't look to be accepted by it. We don't look to go out in and tell everybody what fine people we are. We're looking for the day. We're looking for a city. That's what we're doing. Whose builder and maker is God. Ain't we? Huh? Whew. Abraham went out not know where he's going, but now, beloved, we know where we're going. This world has no place for us. Oh. Don't want to be recognized by it. Don't want to be honored by it. Huh? No. And the first thing you think of when a believer is called home, the first thing you think of, oh, thank God, thank God, thank God. Bless the Lord. Oh, he's in, ceased from their labors and entered into rest. All right, here's the next third thing that we know. We know, and then look what it says here. And we know. And here's something we know. He that's born of God. We know that the Son of God has come. We know the Son of God has come. When we talk about the Son of God coming, what are we talking about? We're talking about God in the person of Jesus Christ coming into this world in the flesh. Born of a woman. Made of a woman. Come into this world, made under the law. And he, when he came into this world, he was God when he came here. He was the eternal God. But when he came here, he took upon him flesh. He took upon him humanity. And once he became a man, he never ceased to be God. And once he became a man and a sinless man, he'll always be a man. God and man in the same person, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that he come into flesh. We know why he had to come into flesh. We know what he came to do in the flesh. We know why he came to have a body. You know why he had to have a body? God hath prepared me a body. What for? To be a sacrifice. To be a substitute. To be a sin offering. And I tell you, we know that the Son of God's come. He come. And he come into a sin-cursed world. Sin-cursed world. Hated of God. He come into a world full of darkness. And he was the light of God that came into this world of darkness. He come to be despised and rejected of men. But he also come to do a work. He came to do a work. What was that work? The one the Father gave him. What was that work that the Father gave him? Father, they were thine, and you gave them to me. You gave them to me. And everyone you gave to me, I've not lost one of them. And Father, I've received this commandment from you that I lay down my life for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep. And as a corn of wheat, Bruce preached it yesterday, as a corn of wheat, Christ, as a corn of wheat dies, put in the ground, except it dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. And beloved, we're the fruit of God. We're that fruit of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ and His resurrection. He worked out a salvation for us. He was obedient to His Father. His soul was made an offering for sin. And He suffered. Oh, He suffered. How much did He suffer? So much so that He died. Why did He die? If He was sinless, why did He die? Well, He wasn't sinless. In Himself, He was. But He had somebody else's sin that He had to deal with. He had someone else's sin that He had to bear. All the sins of all His elect for all time and eternity. He bore all their sins in His own body. And He put them away once and for all by the sacrifice of Himself. Oh, He did. Then look what it says there. We know that the Son of God has come, and listen to this, and hath given us an understanding. Oh, my goodness. Oh, He said, I pray not for the world, but for them that gavest me out of the world. And oh, He hath given us, and we hath come. He hath come. How? In the gospel. He came in the truth. He came by the Spirit of God. And He gave us an understanding. Oh, I've got to hurry. He giveth us an understanding. Well, what did He give us an understanding of? Of God? That's the first thing He gave us. No man cometh unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. And he that hath been drawn and been taught of the Father, he had to be taught, cometh unto me. He give us an understanding of God. He give us an understanding of Himself. Thank God we know something about Christ. Nothing like we want to know, and nothing that we want. We're not even close to what we know about Him when we get there. And oh my, He taught us, gave us an understanding of ourselves. What do we understand about ourselves? We're nothing. We're nothing. We don't have anything. We can't do anything. We have no worth. We have no merit. We have no works. He gave us an understanding of Himself. And then if He gave us an understanding of ourselves without giving us an understanding of Him, that would be an awful state to be in, wouldn't it? And then He gave us an understanding of our oneness with the Father. An understanding of the truths of the gospel and the mysteries of God's blessed grace. And this is why He come and give us an understanding. Listen to this. That we may know Him. That is true. That's why He come and give us an understanding. That we can know Him. You don't know me unless I give you an understanding. And not only that, but He said, He gave us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. True. The Father. The one true God. The Lord Jesus Christ. We're in Christ by the will of God. We're in Christ on purpose. We're in Christ by election. We're in Christ by faith. And look what He says. We are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh my, God put us in Christ. And listen to this. This is the true God and eternal life. I am come. Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to them that know Him. And this is eternal life. That they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. And then look what He says. Little children. Now He turns around, you know, you're born of God, you are of God. Son of God, come give us understanding. And then He turns around and says, little children. Children of God, keep yourselves from idols. What He's saying, keep yourself from false gods. Keep yourself from anything or anyone that would take the place of, in your heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. In your heart that's due to Christ and God Himself. Keep yourself from traditions, superstitions, images. You know, when you there was a time and I had an image in my mind of what Christ was like. But I don't now. When I close my mind, I don't have an image of what Christ looks like physically whatsoever. Do you? No more. I don't have any image of God. And I see these pictures of Him, and I used to have a picture, you know, of Christ with a crown over His head and a crown of thorns around Him. They put it on the wall, and everywhere you looked, His eyes was following you. We know that's not Him. Old moon, you know, that was of the moonies. He said, Jesus Christ, I seen Jesus Christ. I said, how you know it's Him? Said, He looked just like the pictures. No, we don't want no images of Christ. No images of, we don't want no image out in our garden. We don't want Mary out there in a statue, Jesus in a statue. We don't want none of them things. Keep yourself from religious practices and observances brought to you by so-called Christians. And this is the last thing I'll say. If things are not according to the Scriptures, don't have nothing to do with it. Right? If they can't show you in the Bible, say, well, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. our Father and our Savior. Thank you for allowing us to preach the gospel this morning. Thank you for the truth. And oh God, thank you for the presence and your blessings. Thank you for those that's come out. Thank you for those that's watching today. I pray that it's been made a blessing to all of us, and especially those that are here. Those that hear. God bless the word to our hearts, to our understandings, to our hearts and souls. Make Christ more to us than anything in this world. Oh God, make Christ so precious to us. Make Christ to be the lover of our souls, and we know He is. But make us to be lovers of Christ and lovers of one another. Please continue to come. Please continue to give us understanding of your precious word and ourselves and our Lord Jesus and God Himself. We ask you, keep coming. Keep giving us an understanding. We thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. See tonight, 6 o'clock.